Let us pray. God of covenant, you who indeed hold on to us so graciously and generously, we pray that your Holy Spirit would bind this reading of your word to us, heart and soul, that we and our children may live in your presence and share generously of the gift that your Spirit gives us as we seek to follow together in the way of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is the 133rd Psalm. You may follow along on page 575 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Listen now for God's word. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life evermore. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we've mentioned, we are continuing our celebration of Pentecost today, the gift of God's Spirit to the church. We turn to a passage which is often read on Pentecost Sunday, the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let us listen for God's word to us as we think about what continuing difference it makes in our lives for God's Spirit and gifts to be present. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Compared to this recent decade, the 1990s had very few superhero movies. If you're a superhero movie fan, one that might stand out in your mind is the spoof of superhero films called Mystery Men. In this outlandish comedy, released in 1999, a band of bickering oddballs come together to save their city, Champion City. In this city, only one superhero is revered and considered successful, and that is Captain Amazing. A team of three superheroes themselves long to be recognized. They long to make a name for themselves as well. This team consists of the superheroes Mr. Furious, the Shoveler, and the Blue Raja, played by Ben Stiller, William H. Macy, and Hank Azaria. These three take their unique gifts, perpetual anger, shoveling skills, and spoon throwing, and they attempt to rescue Captain Amazing, who has been captured by the insane supervillain Casanova Frankenstein. It gets crazier. Casanova Frankenstein has a plan to unleash his doomsday device, the Psycho Frankolator, on the city, Champion City, which would ultimately and lethally bend reality. He must be stopped. But Captain Amazing is captured and is in no position to be the hero. Well, after their attempt to capture Captain Amazing failed, the group of three, Mr. Furious, the Shoveler, and the Blue Rajah, they realize that their gifts alone aren't enough to save the city. So they hold tryouts for other would-be superheroes to join them. At the tryouts, folks bring their unrecognized superhero gifts. Folks like the Waffler, the Pencil Head, and Squeegee Man. They show up hoping to become part of the group, a group that will make a difference. Well, from the tryouts and from word of mouth, the three recruit additional teammates. The Spleen, Invisible Boy, who is invisible only when nobody's looking, and the Bowler. This group, with much hilarity and complexity, they eventually throw Casanova Frankenstein into the core of his Psycho Frankolator, where he is killed by its reality-bending powers. Champion City is saved and forever owes a debt of gratitude to these mystery men. Well, even though I just shared the happy ending, I have not spoiled the movie for you. This movie has been called disarmingly humane and a sweet-natured comedy. The misfits, the superhero wannabes, work together creatively and effectively, building off one another's unique gifts to save the city. By working together, they end up accomplishing what not even Captain Amazing could do alone. And you might be starting to see how this offbeat film ties in with Pentecost. A variety of gifts, none greater than the other, working together for the common good, the gift of Pentecost. We see in the church, though, as one sees in this movie, that in reality, not all gifts are valued. And there are some who think that they can take their believed to be superior gift and work on their own, as Captain Amazing tried to do. Well, this is what happened in the church in Corinth. Some in the congregation saw their gifts as gifts given for their own edification, for their own social status, for their own achievement and award. You can imagine some in the congregation who touted their gifts and therefore their value as greater than others. The church in Corinth had many problems. They struggled with how to live as the Spirit-filled, gifted people of God. Some concerned members wrote to the missionary who started the church and asked lots of questions dealing with spiritual gifts and beyond. Their questions touched on marriage, divorce, litigation, support of local religious shrines, the proper foods, leadership of women, the order of worship, and the nature of the resurrected body. In addition to the gifts of the Spirit, those all were questions that they brought. As one scholar has described this congregation, they were rent with schisms. The letter written by the church in Corinth to their founder, Paul, does not still exist, But we can hear Paul's responses to their questions in the letters that he wrote to them in 1 and 2 Corinthians. We hear the beginning of his response in the opening verse of chapter 12. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters," he began. We gather from reading Paul's response to this congregation that they were struggling with divisions within their community. How should they be living as the Spirit-gifted people of God? They were divided over these questions. Who received gifts from the Spirit of God? As well as which gifts? And therefore, which members were more valued? We can almost hear some of the Corinthians defending themselves. "My gift is very important. Theirs is good, but mine is really important, really useful." The focus for many of the Corinthians was on the recipient rather than on the giver. The conversation had turned into, "Mine is better," rather than, "Jesus is Lord." In his response to the congregation, which we heard this morning, Paul went out of his way to say that even though there are a variety of gifts, the same Spirit is behind the gifts. Though there are all kinds of ways to serve, it is the same Lord who is served. Though there are many activities in the life of the church, it is the same God who makes all of them work. Paul repeated several words and phrases to drive his point home. He sought to avoid having the people focus on a particular gift to the detriment of others and exalt the people who practice that particular gift, which in Corinth appears to have been the speaking of tongues. That was the gift they were lifting up. Paul encouraged them as those who believe in Christ to move away from a state of mind in which one tried to measure their giftedness against another. The Corinthians had turned the gifts of the Spirit into gifts that tore down and destroyed. The congregation had a diversity of gifts. They were not homogeneous. But their problems came when they began to see their diversity as something that could be ranked in a hierarchy. And they allowed it to create schisms and form divisive subgroups within the community. They then only worked within their subgroups and not within the entire community. Therefore, their gifts only benefited a handful rather than benefiting the whole. Paul spoke against this, too, saying definitively, "The purpose of Spirit-given gifts is the edification of the entire community. A genuine spiritual gift is not granted to individuals for their own private spiritual pleasure. Genuine spirituality is not the cultivation of private emotional highs, mystical thrills, or an exclusively individual serenity. Christianity is not a religion of spiritual lone rangers or narcissists. Rather than fostering a purely private ecstasy, the gifts are bestowed in order to build up the church. These gifts are not just to build up my faith, but they are given so that we can enrich the faith of others. They're intended to be publicly communicated, publicly shared, and publicly enjoyed. A variety of gifts, none greater than the other, to be used for the common good. That is what God gifted the early church. And that is what God continues to gift the church. That is what God does here at Highland today. Not because we have done anything to deserve the gifts. As one colleague puts it, they are not merit badges for holiness or signs of approval for God, but rather they are God's response to the needs of the community. That is a beautiful and challenging idea. Our spiritual gifts are given by God in response to the needs of the community. We're gifted with what our community needs. Think about that for a moment. Our gifts might not seem like much to us. Remember back to the movie, those gifts were spoon throwing, bowling, shoveling. They might not seem like much on their own, but when combined with others, they turn out to be just what the community needs. Our gifts, the ones that you have sitting in these pews, the gifts of our volunteers, our elders, our deacons, the gifts of our members at Salem Town and Arbor Acres, the gifts of our children and our youth, the gifts which God has placed within each one of us. They are just what our community needs. Where do we see the needs? People who are lonely, families with new babies who need extra care, seniors and children who need food, nonprofit agencies having fundraisers, refugees who need support. The needs go on and on. We are gifted here at Highland. We are gifted to meet these needs. Not just one of us, but all of us. All of us working together with buddies, with committees, with friends, with other congregations. We are gifted to meet the needs of this community together. The oldest son of a friend of mine graduated from high school yesterday, from Atkins High School. He was selected to give the welcome at the graduation. Here's some of what he said. "We are about to embark on one of the greatest journeys of our lives, and we did not get here alone, nor can we continue alone, for the way forward lies not through competition, but through cooperation. Only by helping each other can we truly build our future." Many heard this message at graduations across the country. Paul shared this message with the Corinthians. The wacky superheroes in Mystery Men shared this message. Working together, we can share our gifts with the community, meeting needs, living into God's call in our lives. May it be so here at Highland, in Winston-Salem, and all around this world. Let us pray.